Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. New research out of Michigan State University revealing the process of how male songbirds draw attention to themselves through chemical communication that involves their scent. To talk about that, I'm joined by Dr. Danielle Whitaker, Managing Director of MSU's Beacon Center for the Study of Evolution in Action. Welcome to the program, Danielle.
Thank you.
We've certainly heard about pheromones when it comes to human attraction. Is that similar to the scent these songbirds are giving off to attract a mate?
Yes, it's pretty much the same thing. What's pretty interesting about this is that for a very long time, the common wisdom was that birds really didn't have much of a sense of smell, that they relied primarily on vision and their hearing to determine who was an appropriate mate. But we're finding now there's more and more research discovering that they produce odors and that they're attracted to them.
I see. And how are you able to differentiate between the attraction that's being drawn through sound and the visual attraction versus the one produced by the scent?
In the experiment that I recently published, we actually did an experiment in which the birds were put into a special Y maze. It's basically a Y-shaped cage. And at the end of each of the two arms, we gave them cotton balls that were saturated with the scent of each one with a different bird. And so they didn't actually have a bird to see or to hear in order to choose. So they chose which of the scents they preferred to be near.
Is it only male birds that deploy this scent then?
No, actually females seem to produce even stronger amounts of it. I was surprised to find, though, that both males and females preferred to be near the male scent.
I see. So what you're saying is there was this effect of attracting males as well as females?
Yes, that's correct. So I gave both males and females the option between scent from a male or scent from a female. And what we expected to find was that they would be attracted to the opposite sex. But in fact, males also preferred to be near the male scent. And it was even a stronger effect on males than females. So I think this might have something to do with territoriality, with smelling another male in your territory and going to check it out.
I see. Essentially, it could draw an aggressive response from another male rather than an attracted one.
Exactly.
I see. And when you talk about the visual presence of a bird, its coloring and so on, how does that compare in attraction to the power of the scent that's produced?
The primary stimulus when birds are looking for mates is probably the first thing they're going to hear is the bird song. We hear it too when we go outside, and it travels the furthest. When males don't have a mate, they'll spend a lot of time singing in their territory to try to attract a female. When she arrives, then she'll see the male. These scents that we're looking at, they don't travel very far, so they probably don't sense them until they're pretty close and they're checking out the male and trying to decide whether or not he'd make a good mate.
I see. So chirping remains the primary way of communicating and attracting, and then followed by the sense and the visual stimulus also then.
Right. It's just a function of how far this information can travel. So sound obviously can go the furthest.
Now, this type of research, is it likely to lead to further study of this type of scent emission? And is this the first time that we are aware that this is occurring at all?
There's been a number of studies in the past 10 or 15 years or so. We've all been looking at different species of birds and trying to understand what they're doing with these odors. I actually started out with my colleagues at Indiana University looking at the chemical components in this oil that they produce. And we started to decipher what information is actually present. You can tell by the odor, based on the chemicals present in this oil, whether it's a male or a female. You can tell the individual identity of the bird. They differ by species, by population they come from. So there's a lot of information there just based on the different composition of the odor. And so the next step was to test whether they could detect it and whether it was actually affecting their preferences. So that led to this behavioral study.
I'm talking to Dr. Danielle Whitaker, Managing Director of MSU's Beacon Center for the Study of Evolution in Action. Now, when it comes to the scent, does it typically attract birds of the same type and species, or can it attract a variety of different birds?
The scent is species specific, so each species produces its own particular set of chemicals that make up the odor. I've also tested between their own species and a different species, and they seem to avoid the scents of different species. They prefer their own species. But for this particular study, we also looked at different populations of birds. So I work with dark-eyed juncos. They're a very common sparrow found throughout North America, but there's several different subspecies. They look different. They have slightly different coloration, and we can tell them apart on the basis of their odor as well. Turns out they didn't care too much about the difference in population when we gave them the scent of two birds from different populations. We thought they would prefer their own, but they were actually seemed to be more interested. This is what surprised me, actually. When we gave females a choice between the scent of two males, they preferred males who were smaller and had smaller plumage ornaments, so feathers that are normally thought to be attractive. This is the exact opposite of the choice they would make if they saw these birds, if they had the visual stimulus.
I see. So it's almost as though the scent makes up for physical qualities that are not as attractive, perhaps.
Exactly. And it seems like males who are smaller and less attractive might be overcompensating, might be producing more of this attractive odor.
And is this the case then for all birds? Do they all create some sort of scent then?
All birds that we've studied so far do produce an odor with this oil.
I see. And ultimately, now moving ahead, where is your research going to take you in terms of studying? Are you going to continue studying this particular path, or is this leading to other types of study?
This is part of a broader interest of mine, looking at chemical communication in birds. We're still pretty early in this process, trying to understand how it's happening, what they're using it for. Right now, I'm looking at how they actually would use these odors in courtship. So I just got back from my field study in Grand Teton National Park in Wyoming, where we were looking at a behavior called bill wiping. They actually will wipe their beaks on a branch, and they normally do this to clean their beaks, but they'll also do it during courtship, which makes me wonder if they're actually scent marking during this process.
I see. And when it comes to the mechanism of how the scent is produced, how does that happen exactly?
They have a gland at the base of their tail. It's the only large gland that birds have. It's called a preen gland. It produces preen oil. And when birds are preening their feathers, they'll take some oil from this gland onto their beak, and they rub it onto their feathers. It helps protect their feathers from sunlight or water or parasites, but it also produces this odor.
I see. So the odor is constant. It's not produced for any particular moment or anything like that.
It's actually it's much stronger in the breeding season in the summer, and it's very low amounts in the wintertime when they're not breeding.
And a more general question for those of us that are not very familiar with birds, how intelligent are these animals when you compare them to typical mammals, let's say cats or dogs?
Birds in general have a huge range of intelligence. So your birds like crows, for example, or parrots are very smart. They're as smart as monkeys, for example. The sparrows I study might be a little lower in intelligence. We might compare them more to, like, rodents, for example.
I see. So they'd be acting more on instinct, perhaps, and be much more affected by these types of triggers.
Right. That's one thing we're looking at, yeah.
Dr. Daniel Whitaker, Managing Director of MSU's Beacon Center for the Study of Evolution in Action. Thank you for joining me, Daniel.
Thanks very much.
And we'll be back with more. I'm Michael Cohen. You're listening to 1320 WILS.